Let's get started. All righty. So this is the January 14th Municipal Services Committee meeting. And so we'll get started. And first item, gotta keep up with it, Kim. You're going so fast. Is the motion to approve the minutes of our December 10th meeting.
So move, Lori Spielman,
Thanks,
Ellington.
Lori. Second, anybody have a second?
Second, Kim Lord.
Thanks, Kim. Anybody have any changes, corrections? All right, hearing none. All those in favor as presented, please say aye.
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 Any opposition or abstentions?
I'll abstain from not being there.
Thank you, Tom.
I will as well. Dave Norris from Town of Southington.
All right. All righty. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to reports from staff. Matt, you want to kick it off?
I would be happy to, Peter. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for attending today, our regular members and our guests as well. Just a couple of items today, Peter. I've been working, as everyone can imagine, on advancing CROG's legislative agenda for the new session of the General Assembly. It is posted on our website. We'll be happy to share it with you all. And I know some of you helped prepare that agenda. You served on the legislative committee, so thank you very much. And there are a couple of bills that have been introduced already that are on our agenda. One would be to increase funding for the state's local bridge program, which we all know is very popular. It's been funded at $20 million a year statewide the last couple of years. We propose to bring it up to $30 million a year based on a conversation we had with the DOT. And one of our legislators, Gary Turco from Newington, has submitted a bill to that effect. And then secondly, big news for the eastern portion of our region, crumbling foundations, the captive insurance company, CIFSIC, that the state set up to address that issue, does anticipate needing additional funding in a couple of years. So there is a caucus of legislators out in eastern Connecticut that have submitted a bill pursuant to our agenda. So we're happy to see that too, seeking an additional $100 million really to fully resolve the crisis of crumbling foundations in eastern Connecticut. If you look at the 20 most impacted towns in the state, 18 of them are within CROG. So very, very important one for us. So moving on to a couple of other items, Peter. Vision Zero, which hopefully most of you are familiar with the term, but that's a methodology to promote safety on our roads for all users of the road, you know, motorists, pedestrians, cyclists, people in a motorcycle, et cetera. It's been a big, big focus of CROG over the last several years. I think we all know that the statistics are going in the wrong direction, unfortunately, with a distracted driving and for a variety of other reasons. So we are preparing a workshop. I want to thank Elizabeth Sanderson from our team, as well as several others that are working on this. And we're going to be hosting Roger Cron in particular. We're going to be hosting a workshop on the morning of January 30th here at CROG. It will be similar in some ways to the October workshop that we sponsored on shared services, if you'll recall that. So we're going to take the morning of January 30th to talk about Vision Zero. What does it mean? How can any town use it, whether you're a large town or a small town? We're going to have a good presentation, and then we're going to have a panel comprised of some of our municipal members that are doing good work in the space. New Britain, West Hartford, Manchester, Wethersfield, those are the towns I recall off the top of my head. So if you haven't registered for this session yet, really would encourage you to do so. We're looking to have a great discussion like we did for that shared services workshop back in October. And we're going to continue to hold these workshops roughly once a quarter on topics that are important for our members. And then the last item I have today, Peter, and you had asked me to raise this, we want to at some point talk about how we are evaluating motor vehicles now in our state and the impact that it's having on municipal grant lists, and if we want to do some type of analysis here in our committee. That completes what I have today, Peter.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Maybe under municipal service, municipal information sharing, we talk a little bit more about the car tax piece, but I'll hold that until we get through our business items. Anything from any questions for Matt at this point? All right, Pauline, do you have any updates?
I do. I have two items. We had one request from one of our towns requesting us do an RFP on finance/HR software or ERP. If there are other towns, we told them we need more than one town in order to do an RFP. So if there are any other towns who would be interested in joining, it's Glastonbury. I'll call Jonathan Louise out. If there's other towns who are interested in joining in such an RFP, you don't necessarily have to choose the software that's got results from the RFP, but we need some greater participation. So just please contact me with regards to that. The other thing that I have on the list is that DEEP has a RFP out for salt reduction for municipalities who are interested in participating in salt reduction practices. I just wanted to let that know that the project proposals are due in February. Those are the two items I have, and I believe both Kim and Robin had one item each as well.
Yeah, thanks, Pauline. Just a friendly reminder that the fuel bid is going to be issued on the 30th of January. So the CRPC is currently collecting quantities for this bid. Just a reminder, this is not a piggybacking bid. So if you do wish to participate, please make sure you get me your quantities by the 22nd of January. That's it.
And then Robin has one thing.
Thank you, Pauline. I wanted to let everyone know that CROG, in collaboration with Novus Insight, is hosting a free information session tomorrow for a cybersecurity cohort. The session is tomorrow virtually from 1 to 2 p.m. The session is free, and it's providing information on policy, procedure, and incident response planning. It is geared toward municipal leadership. So we really are hoping that we get good participation from the leadership level to help develop this cohort and these policies. If you're interested in attending the virtual info session, please reach out to me. I'll put my email in the link and I'll send you the meeting invite.
Great. Thank you, Robin and Kim, for those items. All right, so today we have our first business item is an overview of Capital Workforce Partners subsidized employment program. And I'm gonna recognize Elizabeth. We do have Nicole Milton from CWP with us, but I'm gonna let Elizabeth kick it off.
Thank you, Peter. And Elizabeth Sanderson, the CROG Principal Program Manager. We received a communication from the Capital Workforce Partners late last year about this program, the subsidized employment program that's offered through the American Job Center through Capital Workforce Partners, and wanted to bring it to your attention because of the opportunities that there are to help fill positions that you may have at municipality level, the jobs you have open, with people who are looking for work at a subsidized rate. So it's a lower, reduced cost to you as an employer. And Nicole Milton is here from Capital Workforce Partners and can share more about that. So I will, if it's all right with you, Chair, I think Nicole maybe has a presentation to share.
Rock and roll.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the introduction and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nicole Milton. I'm the Business Services Representative Lead for Capital Workforce Partners. Quickly, thank you to Kimberly and Elizabeth, who allowed me a few minutes to again talk to you guys about the subsidized employment program. So I'm going to go through a PowerPoint presentation that I have and then answer any questions at the end that I can as well.
Okay. Sounds good, Nicole. Thank you.
Thank you. Elizabeth, so you're, thank you. Yep. So a little background on Capital Workforce Partners. We are North Central's Connecticut's regional workforce board. We help individuals overcome barriers to employment and close a skill gap between businesses and hiring needs. And we do this in collaboration with the American Job Center. We are their primary funding source, and we collaborate on many different programs to help individuals in the community. Next slide, please. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go back one, please. Yeah, so the American Job Center is a one-stop career center where millions of people have received career guidance, job placement, and supportive services. At the job centers, we have a great team of career advisors, job developers, business service consultants, and the Department of Labor, all who play a major role in helping people get back to work and strengthening the community. Next slide, please. So the program that I'd like to talk to you about today is subsidized employment. This program invests public funds in jobs for people by paying all or some of their wages. This is a talent development opportunity. The intent is to upskill candidates and prepare them for your future workforce. Only people who are enrolled in the American Job Center are eligible for this opportunity. Candidates are vetted through our career advisors and then given the opportunity to work with businesses. So we are looking for companies who have open positions that are looking to take advantage of some of the people that we have in our pipeline. This benefits employers and job seekers who can build on their job skills. Employers get more work done, and employees gain work experience and real life skills to better position them for full-time employment. This assignment can go up to 26 weeks for 20 to 30 hours a week. The hope is that after X amount of time, you don't have to do the full 26 weeks, but after that time, that they would be offered full-time employment if it's a great fit. On the flip side, an assignment can end or be canceled at any time if it's not a good fit for the job. You are also not obligated to hire anyone from this program as well. So how are people chosen? Candidates are chosen through a program at the American Job Center we have called JFIS, or Jobs First Employment Services. These candidates are vetted through our career advisor. People come through this program who are looking to receive maybe some higher education. They go through our certification programs. They may have some barriers that they have to address first, as far as housing, or transportation or daycare. So the career advisors work with these individuals to make sure that all barriers are addressed and they're ready to work. Candidates are looking for relevant, meaningful work experience that will enhance their resumes. The goal is to have the candidates use this experience to secure full-time employment, either with you or with another organization. Next slide, please. So what's in it for the businesses? So the first one on our list is increased productivity. By boosting productivity, you can increase the staffing levels. This allows for more work to be completed without added payroll expenses. Payroll is handled through the American Job Center, completely through the American Job Center. They also cover payroll and liability insurance. So there is no cost to the business whatsoever. We pay the person directly through the American Job Center. That we only ask that, before placement is confirmed, that we have a meeting, kind of like a meet and greet with the participant, the site supervisor, and the CA to make sure that everyone is on the same page with the roles and the responsibilities of the job. So what type of jobs fit within the subsidized employment? Administrative and office work, trades, hospitality, food service, customer service, early childhood education, retail, and more. We are more than open to having a meeting to discuss open positions or positions that you'd like to maybe create for someone for this opportunity. We can also collaborate on a joint process to review resumes and candidates from this program as well. Just to give a little background, we've had great success with working with municipalities in the past. We've worked with the town of East Hartford on a program we've had called Career Connect. We've had a lot of individuals come through the American Job Center to receive their Class A CDL license. Once they were certified, they then became hired through the town of East Hartford for driving jobs, and a lot of people are still in those roles and are very successful. So again, this isn't just a talent development opportunity, but an opportunity to collaborate on workforce development. It's going to strengthen the businesses and also provide individuals in our community with essential work experience and skills, preparing them for full-time employment. Next steps would be you can contact me. I would love to have a meeting to discuss opportunities that you may have, and to talk to you about individuals that we have in our pipeline that can potentially be a good fit for those opportunities. That was SE in a nutshell. Are there any questions on what I just said, or any thoughts on subsidized employment?
All right, you open it up to the whole group. Any initial thoughts, questions? Sounds like an intriguing opportunity for some of us, perhaps. What do folks think? Any questions for Nicole?
I have a quick question. When they're in the program, who's responsible for the workers' compensation coverage?
The American Job Center.
Oh.
Yes.
Jump right in, folks. Matt, either one of the Matts.
Matt Hart here. One of the reasons why we brought CWP in today, and I am on their board. They do fabulous work. Is just thinking about our recruitment and retention challenges. You know, can this program be utilized for trainee positions? So, Nicole, could you talk a little bit about the duration of the program? Is this something that a municipal employer could engage in for 1 year, 2 years, maybe 3 years, as someone is trained up?
Yes, so it's going to be up to 26 weeks is how long the assignment would last. During the 26 weeks, it would be anywhere between 20 and 30 hours a week for each participant. After the 26 weeks, if you decide that you'd like to hire them full time, we encourage that. That would be, you know, ideal. That's what we'd like to happen. But if you decide after the 26 weeks that you don't really want to go with this person, that's fine as well. But, you know, they're getting these skills on their resume to then put that towards maybe applying somewhere else. So it's really upskilling and, you know, job development for this person. And then again, if things don't work out before the 26 weeks, you can end the assignment. You would speak with a career advisor who you would just let them know this is not working out and the assignment is ended. Again, there's no liability on your end whatsoever. The American Job Center handles all ADP paperwork, payroll, liability, insurance.
Thanks, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Great. I'm going to go first to Dave Porter at Marlboro, then go back to Matthew at Journey Home.
Okay.
Dave?
Thank you. Terrific presentation. Really appreciate you being here today. You cited in an example from the town of East Hartford with some folks getting their CDLs. I'm assuming that those positions that were eventually made permanent belong to a collective bargaining unit. What, if any, arrangements needed to be made with that union while they were for those 26 weeks while they participated in this program? Did you get any pushback from the union in East Hartford or in any other communities that have sort of done similar things?
So no pushback. This is more of an internship. The example that I mentioned, they were direct hires after they received their training. So there was no pushback. They just directly hired them after they got their license. Their CDL license.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering, was the union at all upset that these interns or whatever we are calling them, you know, were performing work that otherwise might have gone to a bargaining unit member, you know, prior to their hire as a full-time employee, at which point presumably they would be eligible to join the union. You know, so it is a problem that takes care of itself. I'm just kind of wondering what happens during this internship period with respect to work that might otherwise go to a bargaining unit.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that with any of the unions. I don't know. That would be something to discuss with whomever has the opportunity available. We can figure that out.
So, Dave, I'll just add a little bit of commentary from some of the work that Matt Hart and I've done on a statewide basis. I believe it's the Connecticut DOT has a training program, and they worked with the union. The unions, if my memory serves me correctly, was quite receptive, kind of having that trainee. So I think the unions see the benefit of kind of workforce development and a pipeline. So that's just, if my recollection serves me correctly.
Thank you, Peter.
Terrific. Thank you.
Matt at Journey Home.
Hi, this looks like a phenomenal program. I was just curious, I have a few questions, but the first was, what portion of the salary does the program pay? Is it like 100%, or how are the salary rates set, I guess? And does the person have to be, you said it was 20 to 30 hours, does it have to be like a full-time position where the site is paying a portion of those hours, or how does that work?
So the site would determine how much the position is worth, basically. They would give that information to the career advisor with the American Job Center. The American Job Center pays 100% of the wages of this person during the 26 weeks. The company does not pay any wages. There are no fees associated with this once the person is hired or before they're hired. It's completely 100% through the American Job Center.
Okay, and is this
Oh,
what's the
and
source of funding? Is that Department of Labor or
yes,
federal?
it's through, yeah, federal. It's through a program we have called JFIS. And then again, it's going to be part-time, 20 to 30 hours a week. We don't want to go over those 30 hours. Yes, so anywhere between 20 to 30 hours.
Okay, and if the nonprofit or if the agency or employer wanted to pay the other, like if they wanted a full-time position, could they pay the other 10 to 20 hours?
They could stop the subsidized employment assignment and then hire that person full time if they like to do that.
Okay.
They don't have to go throughout the entire 26 weeks. They can end it at any point and say, you know what, this person is amazing. I think they'd be great full time here. That'd be a conversation between the participant and the supervisor, and you can go ahead and hire that person full time if you'd like to.
And could this be combined with the Unite CT Career Connect program that pays for like rental assistance while someone's getting job training?
Yes, it can be.
Awesome. And last question was, you mentioned that some barriers sometimes need to be overcome for people to be able to be a part of the program. And you mentioned housing, and I was just curious if people who are staying in emergency shelter currently could take advantage of this program, or do they need to be in their own apartment housed first before they would be accepted into the program?
They don't have to be into their own home. We'd like for them for that barrier to be addressed, but they don't have to be. But we want to make sure that they have transportation to get to and from. We don't want to put someone on an assignment that they're not ready for or they can't fully commit to.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Anybody else have any questions, comments? I guess I would encourage folks not only from our own municipal perspective, but looking at other some of our businesses in our communities. Obviously, maybe a possibility to partner or promote this rather with our chambers or other individual businesses that we are all aware of. Nicole.
I think Elizabeth or someone put the flyer in the chat. My information is on there, and there are some bullet points again to just go over some key points of this program. If anyone is interested or just would like to have another meeting about the program to understand it a little better, I am more than open to having a meeting at any point. Just give me a call, send me an email.
Jim, I think I saw your hand raised. Jim Boucher.
Yeah, Jim Boucher, Capital Workers. Actually, Nicole just, kind of noted what I was going to mention is that, I really do think, given the information you have, if you want to sit down with Nicole or Joe from Capital Workforce and really kind of map out what might be some possibilities, I think as Matt Hart mentioned, we're also looking at ways we can support workforce needs from municipalities. And we were, I think, really looking at this as a potential on-ramp into potential, job positions that you've been having difficulty filling, and that also mapping with you kind of a collaborative effort. So with your public unions and other leadership in your municipalities, you know, we would welcome just doing that together with you. And if we were able to do some of these subsidized employment assignments with your municipalities, it could also be a good, I think, opportunity for us to really learn and think about how this works as a almost like a pre-apprenticeship type or internship. And I know we've been talking about this maybe for a few years, maybe longer. And this here gives us some dedicated funding right now to really look at doing that. So I just wanted to, further build on Nicole's presentation. So thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Jim. Nicole, quick question. Any, based upon the placements to date, what's a general time frame, some time of kind of contact? Are we talking 8 weeks, 10 weeks, or you guys got a pool of folks that readily available to candidates? Yeah.
Yes. So we have about 12 or 13 people right now who are going through orientation and working with the CAs that we consider would be ready for opportunities. There's people coming into the program weekly. From the time we can find or understand the assignment that needs to happen to placing someone, it wouldn't be any more than, I would say, 2 weeks tops.
Okay.
We would like to have that meet and greet with the participant, the supervisor, and the career advisor, just to understand like the job and everything. So there's a couple of things that have to happen prior mm-hmm. to everything's in place, but I wouldn't say any more than 2 weeks.
Oh, great. Great. All righty. Well, some very, very interesting possibilities, and hopefully some of our communities will be able to reach out to Nicole, yourself, and as well as Joe, and see if we can get some things happening. So thank you very much for your time, both Nicole and Jim. Appreciate that. So.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Nicole. Thank you. Have a good day.
All righty.
Bye.
Well, I do want to stress and reinforce what Matt said. We've been talking about how do we workforce development, a pipeline awareness, just to general what municipal governments do and don't do. And this might be an opportunity just for a handful of us to play off of that. All righty. So I'm going to look to Robin for a update on Regional Waste Authority activities.
Yes.
Robin.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. Appreciate it. And thank you all for your time today. I know many of you. My name's Robin Nichols, and I'm the Principal Program Manager for our Solid Waste Authority here in the region, which is the CSWA, we call it. We could just move to the next two slides. I provided some background for those that don't know it, but I don't need to spend a lot of time on that. We've been around since 2010, and we, over the last couple of, over the last year, have been working on some updates to our Regional Waste Authority to encourage membership growth, to encourage the development of waste diversion programs and services and other opportunities for funding within our region. We have 14 members currently, and we're looking to add more. We can go to the next slide. So as part of that effort over the last year or so, our membership has been simplifying the bylaws and enacting the enabling ordinance, which each municipality that is part of CSWA has to enact in their municipality for it to be effective. By amending and simplifying this process, we are hoping that it will encourage the streamlining of a lot of the operational aspects so that we really can focus on the waste diversion, reduction, and other programs and services we can offer you in our region. If we can go to the next slide.
And Robin, that has to be an ordinance, not a resolution.
It has to be an ordinance. That is correct. I do have an example of that should anybody have any questions of others that have enacted it to date. I've been meeting individually with our different members throughout the last few months in order to present this information and look for the approval and passage of that ordinance in their municipality. So I'd be happy to help. So I wanted to give you a little update on what we've been doing besides the operational background issues with the bylaws and enabling ordinance. We've been really making some good strides here in connection with our organics and food waste efforts here in the region. A lot of you in our communities have expressed interest in, how do we get these programs off the ground? Where is their funding? What kind of support do we have out there? As food waste and food scraps are a large portion of our solid waste. We're hoping that we can provide some programs and services to remove these items from our solid waste stream and, in turn, reduce our tipping fees, our transportation costs, and, the impacts on the environment. So we had put out an RFI earlier this fall. We had gotten four responses in regard to that, providing us direction on how to move forward with, what is not only available in our area, what infrastructure might be needed, interests, needs, things of that nature in order to develop and implement these types of programs in our area. In connection with that, we had applied for and received the grant from the state of Connecticut DEEP for the Regional Waste Authority to expand our authority operations and membership programs and services. So as part of that, we are looking to our members here to help us develop a more regional waste management and diversion effort. We had worked with Manchester and Weathersfield just over the last few months to develop and submit applications in that regard. They, Weathersfield and Manchester both had put applications forward to develop a regional organic and food waste facility in their area. So hopefully, I'm gonna knock on some wood here, that we will be hearing back sometime this spring from DEEP on a positive note as to funding for those efforts. Weathersfield also put forward an application for a Swiffer grant, which provides for that infrastructure as well. That is an EPA grant. So that will take some more time to hear back. We anticipate some response by early fall from the EPA. In both of those applications will include a land acquisition to build the necessary infrastructure for our communities to participate in these expanded diversion services. You can move to the next slide. So how do you become a member of CSWA? Anyone in our region, in the CROG region, is eligible to become a member per the bylaws and statute. So if you're interested, I could send you those, that language. Once you are interested, the municipal authority or your controlling legislative body must adopt the enabling ordinance, which allows you to become part of the Regional Waste Authority. And then you would just attend a meeting of our full membership where they would vote on admitting you to CSWA. There are annual membership dues. The membership dues at present are based upon a tier basis, and they range anywhere from a little under $1,000 to about the highest is the city of Hartford, and they're paying about $1,900 right now annually for their membership dues. You could move to the next slide. So what are we looking to do right now? What are our next steps for CSWA? So we are looking for our, to grow our membership. With the increase in members, we reach that economy of scale. We have the ability to have better bargaining with our haulers, potential for additional services, things of that nature, especially with our haulers as well too. So we're looking to aggregate our community and region in that effort. We're also looking to go out and, you know, test the market. What services could we go out there and bid for? Right now, it's organics and food waste are obviously very top of everyone's agendas right now. The legislature in Connecticut has put forward a new piece of legislation that is effective as of this January related to food waste in our school systems. So we are going to have to start diverting food at our school, diverting and or, you know, recycling our food waste at our school system level. So how do we do that? You know, we're also looking to review or start looking at our hauler contracts. When MIRA closed, many of our communities like yourself went out and signed a short-term contract with your current hauler or somebody that could provide for your waste management services. But many of those contracts, if you do look at them, and I encourage you to, are expiring in the next, you know, couple of years. 2027 is, I believe, the expiration for most of them. So, you know, that's not too far down the road. And, you know, what are you going to do? What options are out there for us? Again, this is how CSWAT as a regional waste authority can help. Through our RWA grant through the state of Connecticut, we also have the ability to go out and hire staff. One of those individuals we're looking at is somebody on a regional level to go out and educate your communities on recycling. And then we also are going to put together a study of, you know, needs in regards to cost benefits, infrastructure, siting, things of this nature, like, you know, where would these opportunities exist in our community? So to that end, we are going to be putting together a quick survey for all of our members to respond to, just to let us know, like, where are you with your current operations? Where are your needs and how can we assist in that on a regional level through CSWAP? So I know it's a lot of information, but if you're interested in hearing more, and we really would love for you to, we do meet monthly. Our next meeting is the executive committee at the end of January. All members are welcome. It's a public meeting. We also are meeting with our full membership, which will include all 14 member communities in February. So if you're interested, please reach out to me. I think the next slide has my information or Matt's, and I believe Matt might have a few comments too regarding, you know, next steps and where we're at with CSWA. So thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Matt?
Yes, thank you, Peter. Thank you, Robin, for the excellent overview. And I want to commend Robin for supporting CSWA over the last few years here. So several of you are our members. I do want to acknowledge, I know he's not here with us today, Fred Presley, town manager in Wethersfield, who's serving as chair and really is doing an excellent job in that regard. You know, over the last year or two, we've really focused on organizational matters such as updating our ordinance. But really now I think we're in a position, particularly with that state grant, where we can look at programming, both in recycling and then going out to bid for the best contracts on behalf of our members. I really would encourage you all to take a good hard look at becoming a member. The costs are relatively negligible right now. You know, at a minimum, you could take advantage of the regional recycling program that we're developing, or when we go out to bid. You know, we're going to get to that point where we're able to go out to bid for hauling contracts that you all can take advantage of. And the more communities we add, as Robin said, you know, our strength is in our numbers. So the more communities, the more residents we add, the better our bargaining power will be. So really encourage everyone, even if you have a contract with another facility, to give some strong consideration to becoming a CSWA member. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Matt. Folks have questions, comments, your experience as a member you'd like to share. All right, Robin, you answered the question about fees. So I got that. I think we all can probably swing 1500 bucks or something like that. Obligations as a member. As I recall from years ago, it was more like an a la carte. You want to participate in program A, you can, if you don't, you can bypass that. Is that the same framework that the authority is working under at this time?
It is right now. I mean, obviously, we encourage you to participate, or at least come to the meetings, have your voice heard, let us know what you are, what you need, mm-hmm. and what we could help you with. But yes, it is not a mandatory participation in any program or service.
Great. I think that had been some concerns years ago, that once you got in the authority, I think with some of the board of selectmen or councils, once you got involved, you're tied to them at the authority at the hip, and you had to do everything the authority, the membership wanted. But thank you for helping clarify that.
Yeah. Yes, Peter. And to that note, you know, if you have public works department that has a great relationship right now that they're working with, you know, Holler A, we're not requiring you to switch any of your programs or services. We're just looking to, you know, have your involvement. Is there a way we could aggregate any of those services? Could we add any potential services to that, you know, relationship right now with, you know, enhancing food waste to many of those? So curbside collection has been something that a lot of towns are interested in, but it's just not affordable. It's not feasible. But could that be something we then could work through the Regional Waste Authority to aggregate and grow that as a scalable program or service?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you for reminding me of the food waste at the schools. I zoned that out. So
Well, and I want to throw this out there. Thank you again. And at our January 27th meeting, we will be having a speaker that will be presenting on the requirements of that new organic food waste law. So if you're interested in attending that meeting, I can send you that meeting invite. Actually, I wonder if many members of municipal services might just be interested in hearing about that. It is a mandatory requirement now.
You could just send it out to the group, Robin.
Yeah, that would be great. Matt?
Peter, I had an additional item I wanted to add. So getting at your question in terms of municipal obligations, there are a number of safeguards built into the enabling ordinance regarding local expenditures. I would say the commitment would increase the more we do and the more the individual member decides to participate in. For example, CSWAD does not own any infrastructure right now. But if someday, let's say CSWAD were to invest and construct a facility, you know, we would need the members who plan to avail themselves of that service, you know, to make a commitment. But again, there are a number of safeguards built into the ordinance, which when Robin circulates it, you'll see those there.
That'd be great, Robin. If you could send out that ordinance and the information regarding the meeting of the 27th in the law, that would be fantastic. So, all righty. Anybody else have anything? Any other trash talking they want to do today? Okay. All right. We're hitting all sorts of good topics today. Now we're going to go to one of my absolute favorite ones, tongue-in-cheek. Matt, you want to talk about this artificial intelligence, which subcommittee idea that you're kicking around?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I try to practice it every day, Peter. Before I do that, I forgot something in part of my reports, and I want to thank Kim for hosting it, and I want to thank Jonathan and Louise for the idea. So CROG will be hosting a webinar on Connecticut paid leave and how it impacts municipalities. Municipalities are subject to components of the law now. So you'll see that in the chat. We're hosting this webinar Thursday, the 23rd, 10 a.m. to 11:30. And we've retained Lisa Lazarek, who is a very well-known public sector employment law and labor law expert. I imagine several of you use her to look at this issue for us. So really would encourage you to register if you haven't already. So moving back to AI, I've been thinking about this topic, I'm sure as you all have, over the last couple of years, and thinking that, you know, CROG, we want to be at the forefront in terms of being able to advise our members with respect to applications of this emerging technology. So the idea here is to recruit a couple of volunteers from MSC that could work with Kim Bona and ideally a couple of members from our Kappa Region Purchasing Coalition to vet some of the new developments in the field and some of the new technology. And potentially there are things that we will want to add to our CRPC portfolio or otherwise make available to our members. Really, the goal here is to stay on top of this quickly developing field. And I suspect that many of the positions that are very challenging to recruit for and retain right now, in the not so distant future, I imagine there will be good sound AI applications to fill those needs. You know, and I'm thinking about things like code enforcement, building inspection, fire prevention, et cetera. I really think the opportunities are going to be quite significant for local government. I know ICMA, many of us are ICMA members. ICMA has been doing some good work in this space, but I really want us as an organization serving you to make sure that we're on top of what's happening here. So would love to get your ideas and then ideally a couple of volunteers from the committee who would be willing to work with us, you know, over the next several months, and we can periodically update the MSC to make sure that it's a worthwhile effort.
Thank you, Matt. Certainly quickly developing. We're all using it to some degree in all of our organization now. But it's going to, as Matt said, it's going to continue to accelerate. And my thought is that love to be able to have some folks from this group here, but also, you know, augment that with maybe some folks if you do have other capacity within your organization. You know, we're all stretched thin, but perhaps there's other folks that are hot to trot with some of the things and looking at best practices, looking at some of the different applications that are out there that could join this work group, which would be better inform all of us, as Matt said. So anybody have any questions for Matt on terms of the purpose of this work group, kind of the level of commitment, which is probably as much as folks want to provide as a group?
How does each member community have the opportunity to send someone to the work group, or who is?
It's all volunteers. I don't think we're going to be that structured that everyone needs to send buddy, but we certainly, Matt, you're looking for a handful of folks that
are correct. Yeah. To start. Yes.
Yeah. And just to be able to come back, you know, on occasion back to us to, so part of it is, I guess, developing that work group, developing what it wants to focus on, I would think, Matt. I think that's that first piece.
Yeah.
So
I would be happy to participate. I will put my hand up.
Thank you, David. I think Pauline's got a point too, Peter.
I just wanted to note that you probably shouldn't just think about sending your IT person, because this is more of a policy and planning discussion in terms of what's possible with AI. It's not a technical discussion. It's more of thinking about the world of AI and what it could do for me. It's strategic thinking about AI as opposed to, you know, the actual technical aspects of it.
I think that's a great point that Pauline made, Peter. And the Purchasing Coalition, as you may know, the group that advises Kim, they're comprised of purchasing agents. So, you know, again, we're looking for folks in the management and policy space to help us out here. So, David, thank you for volunteering.
I can volunteer and help out.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. So, Matt, are you envisioning having a few folks from the purchasing group join in this conversation?
Yes, it would be a mixed group, if you will.
Yeah. All right. Well, certainly that opportunity as folks think about that. And, you know, for again, there's all, we have all sorts of different people in our organization. I didn't mean just that it was IT, that we look to IT, but there's other folks that are, you know, we use the, you know, talent network model. And if you're a librarian and you're passionate about AI, then maybe that's the somebody to come on board as well, as long as they have that, you know, they can bring that passion and that bigger picture view. So, all righty. So, Matt, who's the best person to contact if people walk away saying, hey, I think I've got someone, or I think I can free up some time? Kim?
That would be Kim. Okay. And I can coordinate with Kim and Pauline on a follow-up email that we'll send to the full MSC membership.
Great.
And as part of our effort to recruit a few more volunteers.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, David and Tom, for stepping up and helping get this conversation happening. So, speaking of conversation, going to municipal information sharing. Anybody have any questions for the group? Any things they'd like to share? Any heads up out there?
Peter?
Yes, I don't know who that is, but yes.
Anybody have any great programs for educating parents on proper etiquette during youth sports events? So,
okay.
The news last night, Columbia could use some help.
Yeah. I'll take a look, Tom. A couple years ago, or a handful of years ago, we brought somebody in to do something from the outside to kind of do just kind of FYI, because we had a big turnover in like volunteer coaches. And so they kind of talked about etiquette. So maybe I'll see if I find that gentleman's name. If I find it, I'll send it along.
Great. Thanks, Peter.
So,
Peter, I had mentioned something at the last meeting, but our grand list drop in here in Glastonbury because of the state law being implemented that changes the way how motor vehicles are assessed.
I'm gonna beat that drum all day long, Jonathan.
And we're looking at least a 1% decrease in the grand list because of that. I don't know if any others are feeling that.
When you say 1%, Jonathan, clarify, is that how much on the motor vehicle side of that?
I haven't seen it yet. I just know the net effect overall is going to be about a negative 1%. So I don't know if anyone else is experiencing that. Also, did a little research, and you could set two mill rates, one for motor vehicle and one for real estate. But the state law explicitly says your motor vehicle rate cannot be higher than your real estate rate. So I assume this is going to be, you know, a big thing for most municipalities. And I don't even know if this is something we want to try to bring up, you know, this legislative session. I was thinking of possibly what could be a solution instead of just a mere delay. Perhaps we could get the language changed so that it kicks in when we do reval. Because everything's screwed up then anyway. So maybe just adds to the complication.
So this is kind of, you know, what I was hoping once we get our grand list squared away in the next 2 weeks, each of us, is that if the CROG staff on Benefit for All could kind of do a quick survey of what motor vehicle drop, you know, type of what that could be. I know in Windsor, we're sitting just from a motor vehicle perspective, we're seeing a 13% drop in value, motor vehicle assessed value. And our other than utility trailers, which now are no longer able to be assessed, our other vehicles are pretty much the same. We might have, you know, 30 or 40 cars difference, but it's all because of the methodology. And that translates to us to about a $37 million in lost assessed value, about $37 million. So I heard the same thing from Sean in Cheshire as well, in that same 13% range. I don't, from talking, I was involved in conversations 2 years ago when this thing first came up and got delayed 1 year. I don't think there's appetite, but I think we get the information to change it right now. I mean, try to make some changes, but I think we got to educate and inform. South Windsor seeing at least, they could see even a bigger drop from what I heard anecdotally yesterday. So so I think there might be some traction to do something, but I don't know what the heck that would be. I mean, that's a huge drop for all of us.
We're seeing about 1.6 in revenue, 1.6 million in revenue. I don't know the actual percentage, but that's the dollar amount.
Yeah, that's about where we're going to be, Tom, too. We're going to be in that, you know, 1.2 to 1.5 in lost revenue. So on top of the mandated veterans exemption, which is going to hit us all in different levels depending upon. So, Matt, you had your hand up.
Yeah, Peter, just want to clarify the action item for staff. So what we're thinking of is a survey to the members so that we can estimate the collective impact region-wide.
I think so, but I think we have to get a little bit granular than just simply that gross number. I think just so we can be sure, like the number of motor vehicles that have, you know, we get that shift each year that, you know, as we all know. But, you know, how do we do that? You know, so we can't, I don't want the folks to say, well, this is because you've lost number of vehicles. It's like, so I think we have to quantify that context. You know, Windsor has 27,000 and change vehicles. You know, we have ups and downs each year. And so I want to make sure that's somehow at least captured, but really like raw dollar, you know, based upon your current mill rate, you know, assessed value drop percentage of your. So that's kind of what I was thinking. I don't know. Anybody else has any little pieces of information that you think would help? Please chime in. So I don't know. It's.
Well, I can debrief with Pauline on this, Peter. Yep. Pauline and I briefly discussed asking our graduate student intern to work on this. So they might be able to do a first draft of the survey and we can run it by a couple of you for your feedback.
I'd appreciate that. I just think it would be good information to be able to use with our, when we have conversations with at, you know, I know, and I did speak with Brian at CCM when I saw him last week and, so he was aware of it anyway, but he just didn't know what the order of magnitude it would be. So anything else in the other one I want to say, and I don't know the name of this, CCM offered some kind of a meeting a couple of weeks ago regarding software for salary surveying and collecting of data. I don't know, Pauline or anybody was involved in that. It's, all right, so no one's jumping out there, but I'll pass it along to you and Kim, to you and Pauline. They're looking for members. It's like, depending on, like everything else, depending on how many, but it's an easier way because we're all asking each other for salary information. I mean, I think we've all get barraged with requests for salary surveys. And the CCM salary survey that we've participated in over the years is good, but I think there's gaps in it. And so I think CCM was trying to find another tool. So I'm not sure if anybody else had staff that participated in that. I want to say it was just before Christmas in the mid-December timeframe. But all right, I'll see if I can track it down and get it to Pauline and Kim. Maybe we can circulate it out there. But I know my HR folks thought it would be helpful only if communities similar to Windsor participated. You know, so because that's our quote unquote peer communities. So we start bugging you all. So. All righty. Anything else under municipal information sharing as we go through here? All right. I don't see anybody hands being raised or jumping in. You see the list of future agenda items that are out there. So got some pretty heady topics there. So, we'll try to weave those into the upcoming meetings over the course of the winter. Hopefully this new meeting date works out for everyone of the second Tuesday in the month. So Matt, you have anything else or anybody else on the committee have any questions or comments?
Nothing else from us today. You know, great attendance. We had 13 towns attending today. Great. So really appreciate the discussion, and we've got some homework. So I'll get together with Kim and Pauline and others, and we'll look forward to seeing you next month.
All righty. All right, folks, thank you very much. Happy January.
Take care.